John chapter 2. It is always good that in Sunday school class we're doing the book of Luke, and to be studying two gospels at the same time is a privilege. John chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading today with the 17th verse and read down to the end of this chapter. And next week we'll be getting into Nicodemus and you must be born again. John chapter 2, verse 17. And his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But I spake of the temple of his body. When, therefore, he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. They believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of him, for he knew what was in man. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we do thank you today. We've come together. We've come together with one sweet spirit, and that sweet spirit is your spirit, the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We just praise you that he has come to meet with us today. We thank you, dear Lord Jesus, that through the Holy Spirit you have come to live within our hearts of all that are believers. And Father, you have also sent the Spirit that he would convict the hearts of those that are not saved. That you'll knock on that door, as we sang this morning in Sunday school, and you just keep knocking until finally death has come, or that person has just totally rejected you, sent you away. Both take place in this life. I hope, dear Lord, there's no one here that would make such a choice, but they would come and trust in you and follow you today. Now please, guide and lead us and teach us your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have in the 17th verse the word remember. We covered that last week as we took a look at it. But the disciples, most of them unlearned folks, and yet they remembered the words of Psalm 69:9. They remembered the word of God. And if you'll notice that down in the 22nd verse this morning, we read a verse that has, "And his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them," and that was concerning the resurrection. So you see, sometimes our memory isn't the best. I can remember, you know you're in trouble when you can remember what you did 10 years ago or 20 years ago, but you can't remember what you did yesterday. And so as we get older, it seems like that's a problem. But we need to walk with the Lord. We need to trust the Lord each and every day. And know that when we listen, study, search the Word of God, we need to know that it's placed in our heart and in our mind. And down the line sometimes, something will happen and you'll remember the Word of God. You've got to put in the Word so that it will come out. Whatever you put in will come out. We can choose the dirty stories of the world, the language of the world. We can make those choices to be around folks that's what they use all the time. And no matter how much you try not to, when it goes in, under certain circumstances, it's liable to come back out. And it's not something that you really want to say or think. And so it does make a difference who we're around. It does make a difference what we put in, because that is how we'll be prepared for what God has for us. In this case here, it took his disciples all the way to the crucifixion, following after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. Then they remembered, yes, I remembered what Jesus had said. And so these disciples remembered the scripture. The disciples down here remembered something that the Lord had said earlier in days, hadn't really given it a thought even during the crucifixion. So that word remembered, you've got to put it in so it can be remembered. And so we need to be good students of the Word of God and learn the Word of God. What had been done in the temple, if you remember from last week, he went in and he run the animals out and told the owner of the dove to take them away and turned the tables of money changers' tables over, and didn't seem like they had a problem with what he had done, as we said last week, but they did have a problem. They wanted to know by what authority. And so that's what kind of leads the rest of this, it comes together here. They want to know by what authority did he do this. They wanted to know. Then answered the Jews and said to him, "What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" They want a sign. They want a miracle. They want to see Jesus do something to show that he is a prophet. They don't believe for a minute that he's God, but they do believe that he is probably someone with great power and strength. And so that would be acceptable with what you have done in the temple if you can show us your credentials, so to speak. And that's what they were looking for. Jesus, his response to that was, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Look carefully. Yes, he was close to the temple, but he said this temple. And in another verse down, he clarified it he made it very clear that he was speaking of his own body. This temple. And then he very clearly said, "I will raise it up, and I'll do it in 3 days. I'll do it in 3 days." Jesus was giving them a beautiful picture of what was to happen to him when he was taken, nailed on the cross, died on the cross, buried in the grave, and 3 days later rose from the dead. Very clearly, he was giving them that picture. They missed it. "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews missed it. In the next chapter, in chapter 3, if you remember, Nicodemus misses it too. You see, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, if the Holy Spirit is not in your heart, then you lack wisdom. You may have lots of knowledge, but you've got no wisdom. The only thing that you can go to is something of earth, earthly things, natural things. That's the way the mind works. And so if the mind works that way, then we have to figure out how it's done. So you see, that's the reason that we have evolution. That's the reason people do not believe believe that this world is millions and billions of years old. That's the only way they can answer the question of how all this came about. There's a lot of gaps, you know, big gaps. But you see, when it comes to the natural mind, they don't care about those. They'll figure it out. They'll decipher it. They'll figure it out. Had a man one time tell me that he was just missing one part, just one part of the formula, one little figure of the formula, and he figured out how God created the world. I think there's a fool. How could you be so smart and so stupid at the same time? But the world's full of them. And those people, they just lack salvation. They just lack salvation. We've got a saying out today, and I love it. You can't fix stupid. But you know what? God can. God can. You and I can't. We got to deal with these people. But all they need is Jesus. And that's what we've got to figure. No matter how much they anger us, no matter how much they upset us in what they do and by their actions, they need Jesus. And that's something we have got to keep in our mind and in our hearts and in our voices and our actions, that we show these people the Lord Jesus. How ridiculous was this statement in verse 20 to the response of what Jesus had said? Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. Wilt thou, speaking directly, they caught that, I will raise it up in 3 days. Thou wilt rear it up in 3 days? 46 years. See, the Jews didn't question, that God could raise the dead. They didn't question that. But this man, because you see, they didn't believe him to be God. The Lord Jesus has the power to raise the dead. He is God. The Lord Jesus has the power to raise himself because he is God. Let's go to John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. The Lord Jesus is speaking. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus has the power, the authority, to do such a thing, to raise his body up out of the grave. We don't want to take away the power and the authority of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, because all three are also involved in this. And John chapter 5, verse 19, help us to see that. Each have the power. All are one, yet three separate persons. Naturally, we can't figure that out. But with the heart of God, spiritually, we can know it, trust it, and believe it. John chapter 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doth the Son also. So you see, the power comes from the Father to the Son. Yet all three are equal, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You'll find through the resurrection all three are present. You'll find through every part, you go back all the way into Genesis with Adam and Eve, all three are present. It's such a joy to see and to study the Word of God. And so as we look now on to this, kind of back to the 18th verse, asking for a sign, they want a miracle. They want to see something. And Jesus tells them this, that in 3 days, I'm going to tear this temple down, I'm going to destroy this temple, and in 3 days, raise it again. Well, Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 through 40 tells us that you want a sign? You've had a sign. Jonah, I've shown you 3 days and three nights. So you see, for them to hear these words the first time, the disciples didn't catch what it was, even though they were saved. Later, it made all kinds of sense. But these folks here, they went immediately to something natural. 46 years. His 46 years was the temple that Herod had rebuilt. And if history is correct, when Jesus is standing at the temple, they have been building on that temple for 46 years. If history is correct, 18,000 workers are working on repairing the temple that Herod had rebuilt and had done it for 46 years. So for a man to stand there and to say, I'm going to tear this down, and in 3 days, I'm going to raise it back up again. Does that make any sense? Is there any sense to that at all? See, sometimes we got to think back to the way the world thinks. Could Jesus take my sin away 2,000 years ago before I was ever born? That doesn't make sense. Could one man, even being God, die on the cross of Calvary and take all my sins away? That doesn't make any sense. Why would anyone leave glory to come down here to somebody that hates them, die for me? That doesn't make any sense. But he did it. He did it. That's how great God's love is. That he would come here and do that for us. So again, please, when you're talking to somebody that's lost, don't try to fix all the doctrines that they're mixed up on. Bring them to Jesus so they have the Holy Spirit in their heart. And then the Holy Spirit, through His precious Word, can teach you His ways. Then's when you'll learn right from wrong. We still have decisions. We still have decisions to make, even when we have the great teacher. But we need to listen and follow. And what you'll find is we're going to have a wonderful, sweet unity because of the Holy Spirit, because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Ask for a sign. You had the prophets. You've had the Word of God. Jesus gave this picture to the Jews, a very clear picture. The apostles, after the resurrection, continued to teach and preach of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, because it is a requirement for salvation that you believe in the resurrection. Not only that you believe Jesus died for your sin, but also He rose again. If you neglect and reject the precious blood of Jesus, if you reject that He died for all of your sins, if you reject the thought that He rose again, you don't own salvation. It's not yours. We just need to believe the work of Christ upon Calvary. Romans 10:9 tells us very clearly of that. What was the response of these Jewish leaders to the Lord Jesus? I think their response was, huh. I think they laughed about it. That's a joke. We know how hard they've worked. We know how many years they've worked because, you see, they stayed with things natural. Please, tell people about Jesus. Don't try to explain to them. As this was stated, in verse 21, he clearly says, "But he spake of the temple of his body." Spake of the temple of his body. Why did they go to the temple? Why did they go to this building? A lot of people today worship the building. They worship the place. They worship a plan, a program. The plan, the program, the building. It's of no value. The only one that's of value is Jesus Christ. We are to worship God, living God, risen from the dead. Why would you work 46 years to make the temple perfect? Because that was their God. The programs that they performed in that building was their God. They missed the living God. They missed Jesus. It's so sad. Today it's the same. It's the systems, it's the religions, it's the building, it's the program. That's what people are religious about. We're to walk with Jesus and follow the Lord Jesus. Jesus makes it clear he's talking about himself. Paul helps us to understand in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's turn there just for a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not of your own. Ye have been bought with a price. Only the Lord Jesus spoke of this being the temple. But also we are the temple. Paul and Peter both in 2 Corinthians and in 2 Peter both tell us that we are the tabernacle. It's our tabernacle. These folks are still back asking, by what authority? By what authority? Verse 22, and when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. Even the lost, two times. Once at the first trial of the Lord Jesus, a person asked, do you remember what he said? That he's going to tear the temple down and in 3 days raise it again? That was a lost person remembered that. And then at the cross of Calvary, the same statement was made. Only they were poking fun. Come down off the cross. You said you can raise it up in 3 days. If you can raise the temple up in 3 days, you can come down off the cross, save yourself. They remembered the words. Sometimes the lost remember the words, but it's of no value for salvation for them because they won't believe the words. There's a difference between remembering and believing. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, it was a feast day. Many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men. It needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Lord Jesus knows all. He knows everything. He knows the heart of the lost, the heart of the saved. He knows everything. And when these folks in Jerusalem at the Passover, he performed many miracles. It didn't say what he did. He didn't say the miracles he performed. But all the miracles that he performed, many believed, the scripture says. You say, well, boy, they were saved. I hope so. But according to the next statement, I don't believe they believed unto salvation. I believe that they believed he was a great prophet, that he could do these miracles. But until you're lost, you don't need to be saved. So you see, you got to recognize that you're lost first. Then believe Jesus saved you, and you will be saved. Back in Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 21, and please read that this afternoon, Simon the sorcerer had a very similar situation. Scripture says that he believed. Then a little bit down the line, he saw the miracles performed by some of the disciples and the apostles, and he says, wow. And you know what Simon did? He got his billfold out. He said, how much? I want to buy this gift. It was told a few verses down, you don't know me. You never did. You see, he believed in the miracles. He believed in what he saw. And I'm afraid that many people today have a similar experience. They see something, yes, I believe that. Yes, I believe Jesus died for me. But they've never recognized that they were lost and they were a sinner and needed salvation. And again, by Jesus' response, Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew them. He knew what they were made of. He knew what was in their heart. You know what's in your heart? You know Jesus? Do you just call upon him because you're lost and you need a Savior? It's all you need to do. I don't want to make it complicated. I don't want you to question your salvation. But I do want you to be saved. I don't want you to miss that. I'm afraid many of these folks did. I'm afraid Simon did. He knew all men. Lies, the truth, the mind, the heart. Saved, lost, Jesus knows. Jesus knows. So please, today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, call upon him. If you do know Jesus, let's begin the work of remembering by searching and studying and enjoying his precious word. Started with throwing everybody out of the temple. And the question was continually raised by those folks that questioned what he did, not necessarily what he did, but by what authority. That's what they wanted to know. And when Jesus answered, they still don't know. So you see, if you try to straighten somebody up on some doctrine of some sort or other, and they're not saved, you haven't accomplished a thing. Bring them to Jesus. We sang a song again this morning. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. It's a beautiful song. Let's close in prayer. Please, dear Lord, help us to report those words. Jesus saves. I know Jesus. I've trusted in Him. He saved me. Do you know that you're a sinner, that you're lost? Do you know that? Jesus saves. It's simple words, dear Lord. Help us to share those precious words. Just share with what's happened in our hearts. We don't desire that anyone leave this world and wake up in hell. Or when the rapture does come, a date that no man knows, but when it comes and we leave, will you be left? Will someone sitting here be left? Because they didn't believe. Thank you, Lord, for your saving power. Thank you for the simplicity of salvation. All we need to do is let your Spirit show us who we are and how ugly we are. And then bring us to the door of salvation. And all we do is walk through it. Thank you, dear Father, for your love, for your saving power. Thank you for the sweet Spirit this morning. Please guide and lead us now. Touch every heart. Those that are lost, that they'll be saved today. Those that are saved will grow today. We don't want to leave the same way we came. We need to leave being closer to you. We need to leave saved. Now, speak to our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.